We continue to see the collateral damage caused by the COVID pandemic. In fact, one survey shows that 20% of Americans have changed their retirement plans. Not exactly the golden years. But delaying retirement isn't all bad news. It has its benefits, financial and otherwise, that you may not have considered. Kingdom Advisors President Rob West goes over those today, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Rich Rosl, filling in today for Steve Moore, and Rethinking Retirement, All You Need to Know. That's coming up next on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, if one has already bought all the fishing tackle, the gardening equipment, and the complete guide to do-it-yourself projects for dummies, having to push back your retirement date, that can be a bit disappointing, wouldn't you say?
There's no question about that, Rich. And by the way, glad to have you along today.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, what you're talking about is something millions of Americans have had to do due to lost income and retirement assets from COVID. Now, it's certainly been helpful that the market has rebounded, but it still doesn't change the reality for some folks. And that's why we want to encourage them with some of the hidden benefits of what we're calling delayed retirement.
Right. Well, let's start encouraging them. What's first on your hidden benefit list?
Well, let's begin with the financial side of things, Rich. It eases the strain on your retirement assets in three ways. First, delaying retirement means you'll have fewer years when you need to make withdrawals for living expenses. Second, for most retirees at least, you'll have more peak earnings years. The easiest time to maximize your contributions to a 401k is when you're at the top of your pay scale, and that's going to maximize the benefit there. And third, those added working years give your nest egg more time to grow through compound earnings. Although, as always, you'll want to keep a smaller portion of your portfolio in the market as you get closer to retirement.
Okay, well, all of that makes perfect sense. In a nutshell, more working years mean more money. So what's another financial benefit of delayed retirement?
Yeah, you may be able to delay withdrawals from your 401k. The CARES Act suspended the required minimum distributions this year for 2020 for both 401ks and IRAs due to, of course, the coronavirus. But that was just a one-year reprieve. Normally, you have to start taking those RMDs when you reach the age of 70 and a half or 72 now, depending upon when you were born. But there's a sometimes overlooked provision for 401ks, and unfortunately, this doesn't apply to IRAs. It's called the still working exception. You see, if you contribute to work past those ages and you meet certain other requirements, you can delay taking RMDs until you retire, regardless of your age. Now, it only works for your current 401k, not older ones perhaps you left with the company when you separated. Delaying RMDs, though, has two benefits, actually. It keeps more money growing in your 401k, but also it delays having to pay taxes on your withdrawals until quite likely you're in a lower tax bracket once you have retired.
So there's definitely some silver in the silver lining, so to speak. What else have you got?
Well, if you have to delay retirement, your Social Security check will almost certainly be larger, and that happens in two ways. First, every year past full retirement age, which is now either 66 or 67, depending upon your age, your check will increase by 8% up to age 70. So there's that. But then also, your Social Security benefit is based on your highest 35 earning years. Assuming you're earning now more than you did when you entered the workforce, which would be true for most people, then each higher earning year replaces a lower earning year, which increases the overall amount of your check.
Gotcha. Well, that's a fairly exhaustive list of financial benefits to delayed retirement. What about some less tangible benefits?
Yeah, sure. In one respect, it may actually be easier on your routine. You see, if one spouse retires and the other doesn't, you can find yourself perhaps out of sync. Who's supposed to do what? Do all the household responsibilities fall on the retired spouse? That sort of thing.
Yeah, I could see that causing a bit of friction. Okay, we got time for a couple more here. What else?
Well, you get to maintain your social network for a longer time. You can lose touch with work friends after you retire. Plus, there are psychological benefits to interacting with other people. It keeps you on your toes, and it stimulates your brain when you continue to work. Yeah.
I need all the help I can get with that. All right, I think we're just about out of time. Anything to wrap this up?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as we think about doing work that glorifies God, we always want to work as unto the Lord. And so no matter what season we're in, retired, working, the question is, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Well, you've given us a lot to think about. Thank you, sir. And we'll be back with your calls, 800-525-7000.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
Do you remember that old ad from the 1970s for Clayton's? It's the drink you have when you're not having a drink. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Clayton's has become part of our language. A Clayton's drink looks as though it's alcoholic, but really it isn't. A Clayton's anything is something that looks real, but isn't. Question: is it possible to have a Clayton's person? You know, a person who's not really a person. A baby in its mother's womb, is that a Clayton's person? Or maybe the street people we walk around on the footpath. They're almost always smelly. Are they Clayton's people? Or maybe those workers in the factories across Asia who make the toys our kids play with and the clothes we wear, all for a few cents an hour. Are they Clayton's people? Jesus said, "I've come to bring good news to the poor and to set the captives free." I wonder, when he looks around, whether he sees any Clayton's people on this earth. I wonder.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
For those of you who like to dabble your toes in social media, we have got a few presences, if that's a word, online. We've got a Facebook page at MoneyWise Media. We're also on Slack, and we're not on Slack. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram and probably every other social media. Rob and I are on Slack right now, but that's totally separate from that. I did want to mention, though, we often post a Facebook question of the day that ties into our opening topic. And today's question was, how have your retirement plans changed? Mike has chimed in. He said, I'm considering working a year or two longer in part because Social Security benefits are calculated on 35 years of work history. You were just talking about that. And Mike says, it's definitely a factor worth considering. And Rob, we probably can't really wrap up that topic without talking about the biblical perspective of retirement. And the Bible doesn't talk about 401ks. It doesn't talk about 65 being the magic age. What does it have to say about retirement?
Well, actually, Rich, there's only one place in the Bible you'll even find the idea of retirement, and it refers only to the Levitical priests in Numbers 18:25. It reads, "And from the age of 50 years they shall withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more." I think that was a very specific context, and what we can clearly take away is that because we saw that we were to be workers, and that occurred before the fall, we just look at the Garden of Eden to see that we were to be productive and to take God's creation and improve it, and that we should think about the call that God has on our life, realizing that we're working to an audience of one to glorify Him only, and that calling doesn't have an expiration date. And so we should expect to continue to work for His glory even after perhaps we reposition our lives away from paid work and think about what God has for us in a unique season, perhaps when we can't work or when we have the ability because of assets we've accumulated to go do something else that the Lord might be leading us to. So it's always about, how am I serving the Lord? How have you called me, Lord? And it's not about pursuing this life of leisure, although there's nothing wrong with rest. That's God ordained as well. But it's entirely different than I just want to accumulate as much as I can, as quick as I can, so I can have the good life, quote unquote. I don't think that's a biblical perspective.
Right. Howard Dayton years ago introduced me to the topic of your workplace being your pulpit. And that's, you know, what you do vocationally is actually an extension of what your life ministry is. So I know a lot of people, when they retire, perhaps they don't go and punch a clock anymore, but they may take those same skills and use it to mentor other people in business or just to find new ways of ministering outside of the office, but still taking the skills God's given them and going
forward.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly right. My friend Mitch Anthony, who we've had here on the broadcast before, says it's about retiring not from something, but to something.
Yeah.
Right. And I think about, what am I retiring to? It's, what does God have for me in this next season that I'm transitioning to, not just retiring from something, which leaves kind of my next assignment open ended. And so I think that's a constant dialogue we need to have with the Lord. And if we're married, with our spouse, so we can experience His best in that season.
So my do-it-yourself guide to dummies book, I may not be able to use quite as extensively as I thought I had if I'm still doing what God's called me to do.
That's exactly right.
We'll find out. Our number, 800-525-7000. Again, 1-800-525-7000. We'd love to talk to you today. And we'll start by heading to Minneapolis, Minnesota. John, welcome to MoneyWise Live. How can we be of service, sir?
Hello, sir. Question for you regarding my my inheritance, so to speak. My brother passed away in February. He set up his bank account so that everything went to myself and my wife. His possessions were pretty meager, and so we've taken ownership of those, and we've got them in a storage unit. But before he died, he had set up a legal thing with trying to get money from Social Security Administration for a disability that he had. And after his death, they awarded him $40,000, you know, a considerable amount of money. And I tried to get that, and they sent me a form saying that I needed to, they wouldn't just do it because I was his brother. They needed me to be an executor. Yeah. I guess I'm wondering if there's any other way around that with the SSA, or how do I go about becoming an executor? I've looked into it a little bit, and it's really not very clear to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just talk generally about how this would work, John. I'm not an attorney, but I'll just tell you kind of how this unfolds. The first thing you would typically do is to put your brother's estate into probate so that you can be named the legal representative or executor, as you referenced. So to do that, you would file a request or a petition for probate in the county where your brother lived at the time of his death. There's many other steps to getting the estate through probate, but one of them will be to have yourself named as that legal representative. And that's really important because, as the SSA told you, they will make payment to a deceased beneficiary, but there's a pecking order, and it would first go to a surviving spouse, doesn't sound like there is one, then children, then parents, finally to the legal representative of the deceased person's estate. And it sounds like in that case, that would be you. Once you've been declared the legal representative of the estate, you'd have to fill out a Social Security form that you'd find on their website. And if you have any questions about how to do that, I would make an appointment at your local SSA office. They should be able to talk you through the process of claiming the funds. But all of these steps are going to be put in motion by you being named the legal representative as a part of the probate process. It sounds like that was never initiated. Is that right?
It was not, just because of the cost of probate. Yeah. And it wasn't necessary at the time.
Sure.
This is the only reason why.
Yeah. So it sounds like in this case, you know, because this is the steps that the Social Security Administration goes through, it is going to be necessary in order for this payment to be made to you as a legal representative, which would only be established through the probate process. So I think that's the decision you're going to have to make as to whether you want to proceed with that, given these new circumstances revolving around this check. But so sorry to hear about your brother's passing, my friend. We appreciate you checking in, and I think hopefully you can decide whether these steps are in order.
John, we do appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. Let's see if we can squeeze one more in before the break to Cape Coral, Florida. Michael, we've got just a couple of minutes. How can we help you, sir?
Thank you, gentlemen. I'll be brief. Second chapter of life. My wife and I are both 55, three daughters, six grandchildren, married. Our homes are paid for. We are in a position now that we don't know where to go next. I've read Robert Buford, Late Past, Halftime, a book. We do a lot for ministry, but we don't know what to do with the additional monies that we get every single year. We've maxed out our 401ks, but being we have no debt, we just don't know where to go from here. That's my question. We owe nobody anything, and we just don't know what to do with the money.
Yeah, it's a great place to be, Michael, because, you know, when we follow biblical principles of managing God's money that he's entrusted to us, it actually becomes quite simple. Because if you think about it, there's only five things you can do with money. There's money we give. There's the money we owe for debt and taxes. There's the money we live on. And then there's the money that we're saving or growing. And we can start to eliminate those five as we check off the boxes. You know, once you're completely out of debt, that's one of the five that's gone. You know, at some point you paid all the tax you need to pay and that's gone. You might decide you're not going to increase your lifestyle anymore. That's eliminated. And ultimately what you'll find is you have two categories left, the grow and the give. So there's the money you could continue to accumulate, but I think we all need to be establishing a financial finish line. There's nothing in the Bible that I believe affirms this idea that we should just mindlessly accumulate wealth. In fact, we see just the opposite in the parable of the rich fool, you know, who continued to build bigger barns. And he said, "You fool, your life will be demanded of you." And so clearly that shouldn't be our aim, just to accumulate more and more, which means that, frankly, at that point, once we've established that financial finish line, I think it's incumbent upon us to give, that we should be thinking about how we can be not a bucket so that God's resources end with us, but a pipeline into God's activity. The question is, how should you do that? How do you give wisely in a way that maximizes each dollar, not only giving out of cash, but of assets? And then where should you be giving? In what parts of the world, locally or internationally, and to what causes that align with your passions and God's heart? And I think that's perhaps the thing you need to begin exploring. I'd like to recommend something to you, and we've talked about this a few times on the program. We probably should talk about it more often. There's an organization that you may or may not be familiar with out of Orlando, Florida, called Generous Giving. And it's a phenomenal organization. And they have a basically a 24-hour experience called a Journey of Generosity. And in the midst of COVID, these JOGs, as they call them, which is short for Journey of Generosity, these JOGs have been moved to an online venue where you can participate in really exploring the heart of God, you and your spouse, in a small group of other Bible-believing givers, to not only really hear from God in this generosity journey, but to also clarify how much he would have you to give and where. And I think this jog might be something that would just really be a blessing to you. So I want you to head, Mike, if you will, to generousgiving.com and look into a Journey of Generosity. I think that would be a great next step for you. And I'd love to hear from you after, if you decide to proceed, what the Lord may share with you during that experience.
Michael, thanks so much for your call and being with us today on MoneyWise Live. Our number, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open, so call now, 800-525-7000, and we'll be right back.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
But I can remember when she would do something to Amanda, and Amanda would come in and she would say it just exactly this way to me. She'd go, "Melissa hit me," and she's glad she did. She always added that part, always. Always, because to Amanda, it was just the motive, the heart was so. It was not just that she didn't just hit me. She's glad she did. Everything was she's glad she did mattered to Amanda. He saved you, and he's glad he did. He called you, and he's glad he did. He set his affection upon you, and he's glad he did. In fact, if you'd ever get that through your head, and I'd ever get that through my head, we'd stop taking our tours into the ditch. Because I'm telling you, our magnet back to the pit of sin is our own unbelief that we have really been made different and are completely loved by God. That will, you can take that one to the spiritual bank. It will never change. We do not believe what he says about us. We do not believe what he says out of his own heart. We do not believe that we're different people than we were. So we're going to act out of what we really do believe. Well, however you're living, however I've lived in my life, I've been acting out of my belief system. But we can talk a big talk, but we're living what we really do believe. He's not sorry. He's not sorry.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. The study of Galatians is now available as an online experience. Sign up today at BethMoore.org or join Beth in January 2021 for the release of the printed workbook edition. Again, that's BethMoore.org. Glad you could join us for A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
So glad to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live. I'm Rich Rossel, filling in today for Steve Moore, who we trust will be back tomorrow. Rob West, our host today, and we're taking your calls at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000, or you can convey your question via electronic means. The address is questions@moneywise.org. And got a question or two lined up that we'll try to get to a little later on in the program. But we go back to the phones. Rob, a lot of people talking about retirement today. Mike is calling from Ringgold, Georgia. And Mike, I understand you're trying to weigh the do I retire now or later question.
Yes, that's right. Now, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Yes, I was wondering, you know, I've heard that from your program that you receive more of a benefit if you wait till you're 67 to retire instead of going ahead and retiring at 62. But I was wondering, how long would it take you to catch up with yourself? Let's say you did retire at 67. How long would it take you to catch up with yourself had you retired at 62 years old?
Yeah, so you're going to take about a 25% reduction on average, Mike, when you take early Social Security at 62 versus waiting until full retirement age. And then every year beyond full retirement age, either 66 or 67, you'll get 8% a year in the form of a higher check up to age 70, at which point you might as well take it because you're not going to continue to increase that check. And at that point, it's obviously a math equation based on how long you live. The thing that you have going for you, at least statistically speaking, is that, you know, the last time I looked at this, the CDC put a report out that said, I think this was back in 2016. I haven't seen the newest data, but people are living longer just because of improvements in medical sciences. But once you reach age 65, your life expectancy as a male goes up to 83, and your life expectancy as a female goes up to 85. And so Obviously, you've got time on your side. At 67, it's an average of about 11 years based on the last time our team looked at that in terms of where the break-even point is. So it's obviously a question of, okay, I could have had, you know, the money sooner and started accruing it and socking it away or living on it or do whatever you want, give it. Or you could wait, get that higher check for the rest of your life, and that's going to come down to, does the Lord tarry? And, you know, what is your health? And, you know, there's obviously so many factors there. What is your current health? And what about your family health and so forth that might give you a picture into whether longevity is on your side. But I think, you know, you have to obviously be able to live long enough, in this case, an average of 11 years, to be able to enjoy that higher check. The benefit, though, is if you live beyond that, then you obviously have more money to be able to work with. There are added benefits, though, of delaying, which we've talked about earlier in the program, and that is, A, if you don't need the money and you continue to work, you perhaps are replacing earlier earning years as you were starting out in your working career, which could also improve increase the check that's paid out because it's based on your 35 highest earning years. It also gives you an opportunity to, you know, continue in perhaps what God has called you to. So I think, you know, there's a math side of this, a purely financial side, and then there's the non-financial side. And you've got to look at all of those factors for yourself and decide what makes the most sense.
I was curious, Rob, if you do retire early, whether it's 62 or 65 or whatever, and you start off with that lower amount, is there ever a point at which Social Security ramps those payments back up to your full retirement benefit, or do you stay low for the duration?
Yeah, it wouldn't automatically reset to what you would have received at full retirement age, but you do continue as you continue to work to replace those earlier earnings years, which means True. You may see, in addition to a cost of living adjustment, you may see increases as the amount is recalculated each year.
Very good. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Rich Rosel, sitting in for Steve Moore today. And we'll be back with more, including more of your questions right around the corner. So do stay with us. MoneyWiseLive.org if you'd like to find out more about the program or hear past episodes. We'll be right back. How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Ryan Anderson, a children and family ministry major at the Moody Bible Institute. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
Things are always happening at Moody Radio. God is at work in listeners all around the world. Our monthly online newsletter, Uplift, has changed in order to bring you more listener stories, more program updates, and more listening resources. Be among the first to know about Moody Radio's ongoing outreach. Check out the all-new, free e-newsletter, Uplift. Subscribe right now. Go to mymoodyradio.org, mymoodyradio.org.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment.
Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. At her confirmation hearing, Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett has declared that Americans deserve an independent Supreme Court that interprets the Constitution and laws as they are written. Barring a dramatic development, Republicans appear to have the votes to confirm her. The mother of Arizona Senator John McCain, Roberta McCain, has died. She was 108. A spokesperson for her daughter-in-law, Cindy McCain, says Roberta died today, a cause of death not immediately released. The Hall of Fame second baseman Joe Morgan has died. A family spokesman says he died at his home Sunday in Danville, California. Morgan, suffering from a nerve condition, a form of polyneuropathy. He had a Hall of Fame career with the Cincinnati Reds. He was 77. Stocks finishing higher. The Dow gained 250 points. The NASDAQ was up 296. This is SRN News.
Welcome to Money Wise Live, finding God's plan for your financial life. I'm Rich Rosalind for Steve Moore today. Our host, as always, is Rob West, and we're taking your calls at 800-525-7000. And we do still have a few lines open, so call now, 800-525-7000. And back to the phones to Omaha, Nebraska. We say hi to Samantha.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Samantha, we're doing fine. What's going on? How can we help?
So I have just recently started investing in a Roth IRA and in the stock market, and I don't have a lot of money, but I need to get going on my retirement. So anyway, it's a learn as I go. So I initially invested $3,000 in a Roth IRA, and I did that with index funds, and I didn't completely understand what I could do within the Roth IRA. So I also opened up a regular brokerage account for individual stocks, okay, which I put $2,000 in. Now I'm realizing that I could have just done all of that within my Roth IRA tax-free. And I'm wondering if I should sell off my brokerage account and reinvest it in my Roth IRA, even though doing so, I might have to pay more for the stocks I'm already invested in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I appreciate that background, Samantha. Let's back up just a little bit. Tell me about your work situation. Are you self-employed or are you W-2 employee?
No, I am. I work full-time as a server at a restaurant, and I'm also going to school to finish my degree. And I'm doing this very late in life. I'm 50.
Okay. And do you have access to a 401k at work?
They just started making a 401k available at work. They do not match at all.
Okay.
So
very good.
I'm having them take 2%, and that's it, because they're not offering me anything in addition to that.
Okay. Very good. And how much do you have on a monthly basis extra that you could put toward retirement?
Well, I've been putting in about $400 a month since I opened this up.
Okay.
That's great.
And that goes directly into the Roth?
It's going directly into the Roth. And I'm just doing it because as a server, sometimes your income goes up and down. So I'm just doing it for every pay period. I've been putting $200 in.
Okay. And that's on top of what they're pulling out of your check for the 401k. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a great start. I mean, I think the key is, keep in mind with the Roth, you're putting in after-tax dollars, but the money is going to grow tax-free. So you're not getting the deduction in the year that you put it in. So let's say you put in $4,800, 400 times 12. I realize you may not have done it every month this year, but let's say you did. Then that 48 would still be money you'd pay tax on for 2020 income taxes. But that $4,800 is now going to grow between now and retirement, let's say the next 15 or 20 years, and whatever you add to it is going to be invested. That money's growing, and there's no tax due on any of the gains when you take it out in retirement, as long as you leave it in there at least 5 years, and as long as you're over 59 and a half when you start pulling it out, then you're never going to pay any tax on any of the gains. That's the real benefit of the Roth. You'll be able to put in $7,000 this year. You get an extra $1,000 over the age of 50. And so the question is, can you fully fund it? And I like the idea of prioritizing the Roth over the 401k because of the tax treatment, especially since there's no matching in the 401k. So I think the key for you, because you are starting a little bit later, is to really focus on making sure your financial foundation is in place. I want you to be out of credit card debt. I really would love for you to have 3 months of an emergency fund in place, giving regularly. But assuming those pieces are in place, then I think, you know, prioritizing long-term savings in retirement, starting with the Roth, and then if you get to the place where you have the ability to do more than $7,000 back to the 401k, I think would be a great option. You certainly could look at that brokerage account. There's no reason to, you know, have that money in a taxable account if it's long-term money. And so, you know, I think I'd probably go ahead and sell out of those if you're not going to be able to fully fund the Roth this year with just your regular contributions, pay any tax due, and then put it into the Roth. And I actually prefer, with the amount of money we're talking about here, Samantha, prefer you using mutual funds or ETFs rather than trying to pick individual stocks. What you'll find with individual stocks at this level is you're going to be too highly concentrated in one particular company as opposed to a fund or an ETF, which gives you broad diversification. And you're going to have to do a lot of research as to what are those companies, because we don't want to just pick the companies that we frequent when that may or may not be a good long-term investment play. So let me do this. I'd like to send you a copy of Austin Pryor's Sound Mind Investing Handbook. I think that'll be a real help to you. And a visit with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org for some great biblical counsel on investing. But I think if you move in this direction of really limiting your lifestyle and being systematic in funding these accounts, starting with the Roth and then the 401k, when you get to retirement, you'll have a lot to show for it.
Samantha, we're going to put you on hold. Let's talk to Amy off the air. She'll get some information, and we'll get that right out to you. Thanks so much for your call today. Time for one more before our next break. Leo is in Spokane, Washington. Leo, how can we help you today?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, we've saved up some money for a newer car, about $30,000. And we were wondering, you know, should we invest that in the market as it is today, with, and get a loan with interest rates so low at this point?
Yeah. Tell me about the rest of your financial life, Leo. Do you guys have any debt to speak of?
No.
Okay. Do you own a home?
Yes.
Is it free and clear, or do you have a mortgage on it?
Free and clear.
Okay, very good. And you have some savings outside of this $30,000, like an emergency fund?
Yes.
Okay. And what about long-term savings? So retirement assets that you might use to supplement Social Security. Do you feel like you're on track with those?
Yes, very well.
Okay, very good. You know, I like the idea of you still paying cash for this car. I think you obviously have plenty saved up in the market. It sounds like you're on track based on where you should be. At least that's, you know, what you're saying. You're completely debt-free, which is phenomenal. You have an emergency fund in place, and you've done the hard work of putting this money aside so you could buy a car and not have have to pay any interest on it. And, you know, I think that guaranteed return plus the ability to remain free and clear in terms of your encumbrances is a great thing. So, you know, if it were me, I think I'd go ahead and use this money for the purpose in which it was intended, which is to buy the car for cash and not take on any debt, which also then frees you up with what you would have been paying in terms of a monthly payment if you want to systematically add to your investment accounts, you know, at the level you would have been making a car payment for that. So, you know, I think you could go either way. Clearly, you've demonstrated an incredible ability to manage God's money well and faithfully. That's great. If you said, you know what, we're fine taking on this small debt, we'd like to put this money to work, there's nothing wrong with that. I just think, given everything I've heard and how you all positioned yourself, probably not any need to take on any debt at this point. Let's remain debt-free and then fund additional long-term savings out of margin or other assets.
Leo, I think you're Rob's new favorite person. He had this little twinkle in his eye when he was answering your question. Debt-free, that's fabulous. Thanks so much for calling today. We'll be back with a few more calls in just a moment. Our email address, once again, questions@moneywise.org. Back in a moment.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. If you're wondering why we have so many godless politicians today, politicians are a mirror image of the people who elect them, and those of us who are electing them are mostly godless. And that's because most Christians don't vote. God forgive us. We're living in the freest country in the world that God birthed to spread the gospel, and Christians are allowing to be turned into a godless country by refusing to vote. For Christians, voting is more than a right, it's an obligation, and God will hold us accountable for protecting the country that provides most of the resources and manpower to evangelize the world. That's why Satan is waging his all-out attack on America, doing everything he can to destroy all respect for our country and our godly founders who put their lives on the line to make us free. God bless America. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Changing the world one grandchild at a time. Here's Ken Canfield for Grandkids Matter.
I hear regularly from well-meaning godly grandparents who say, well, we like to get more time with our grandkids, but it just isn't happening. And I know there could be all kinds of reasons for that. But friends, if we don't become more intentional, more proactive, more engaged grandparents, we'll be missing out. First, we'll miss a lot of joy and satisfaction of leaving a legacy that impacts future generations. We'll also deprive our grandchildren of the very best benefits we bring through a close relationship. And third, I believe we risk falling out of sync with God's plan. His heart is for grandparents to be engaged and have a positive influence. Enjoy your grandkids. Keep on connecting hearts and uniting generations.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you've missed a past edition of MoneyWise Live and would like to hear it again, or perhaps you missed the first part of this one and you'd like to hear it again, don't forget you can find all of our programs on our website at moneywiselive.org. By the way, while you're there, you can also download the latest issue of the MoneyWise e-magazine. It features content to help you continue the journey to financial freedom using God's Word, and that's what this program is all about. This issue's theme, by the way, is MoneyWise Decision-Making. You can listen to this quarter's podcast with Ron Blue and also read exclusive articles from Ron, from Howard Dayton, from Art Rayner, and many others on ways to make biblically wise decisions for everyday living. You just go to our website, moneywiselive.org/sign-up, and you can be a regular recipient of the MoneyWise e-magazine. Rob, you know, I give our email address and then I forget to go to email, so let me grab one real quick. Linda wrote in and said, when you cancel a credit card, should you notify them, I guess she means the card company, or just cut it up?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you do want to notify them. Basically, here's the steps. You want to pay off any balance first, redeem any rewards you might have accumulated. So you may have some cash back or something like that. Don't miss that. call them, let them know. They do typically recommend you go ahead and send something in writing, a cancellation letter. A lot of people skip that step, but if you want to be somebody who dots the I's and crosses the T's, I would do that. Then check your credit report and make sure it was actually canceled, and then finally destroy your old card. But I think going ahead and doing that with this added layer of protection to have that documented is never a bad idea, and those would be the steps, Rich.
Very good. And by the way, we do at times tell people to cut up their credit cards, and that's not necessarily the same as canceling it. It's just stop using the thing. So,
well, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's the account is going to remain open unless you tell them otherwise.
Exactly. Well, let's get back to our phones. Barbara is calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Barbara, welcome to MoneyWise Live. What's going on with you?
Hey, Barbara. I think we might be losing you there. Why don't you try to get to where you have a better signal, maybe take a step or two to the right or left, and that sounds
good. There
you
go. Go ahead. I think you're sounding
better.
Do you
hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
You hear me now? Okay. Okay. So I owe $120 on my house, and I've not had the mortgage that long. It's been less than 3 years, but I thought about refinancing just because I plan on paying more down towards the principal, and my credit company, and I asked if I could refinance because I just heard the interest rates would be lower, and so my interest rate is 4.375, and they can only get it down to 4.124, but they would get rid of my PMI, which would be $85 a month. So okay. I was thinking, in my insurance and my taxes are escrowed. So my payment would be right now it's $886 a month, and my payment would be down to $788 a month. But they would get rid of my PMI, and that would help me pay more towards the principal. That's what I plan to do. But I just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
How much do you have in the way of equity? Do you know? Meaning, what is this home worth versus the $120 that you owe?
So the home on Zillow is worth $140. And if I go through the insurance, it's $140 on Zillow, and then just going through PennyMac, that's the company, I was in there, priced it for $150.
Okay. All right. I think, is this an FHA loan, do you know? FHA
it
mortgage?
Is.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to refinance to get rid of that PMI. I think the key is, if you're going to refinance, there's a couple of factors we want to look at. Number one, do you have pretty good credit? Do you know your credit score?
Yeah, I have pretty good credit. I mean, it's good.
Okay.
It's not excellent, but it's good. It's in the lower 700s.
Okay, because you wouldn't necessarily want to refinance just with the existing lender. I'd want to go out and shop that around and make sure you get the very best rate you can. Is this a 30-year mortgage that you have currently?
It is.
All right, how long are into this are you? When did you get it?
Not long. I got it in 2018 in May.
Okay. Okay. So I think the key would be, we want to get rid of the PMI if we can, and assuming you have the 20% equity now, you'd be able to do that. The second thing is, how low can you get the rate? That's where I'd want you to really shop around, because with a 30-year mortgage, if you have good credit, you should be able to get a rate around 2.7 or 2.8% right now, which would be a pretty significant savings. And so normally we'd want to see you'd get at least a point in savings, and you should easily be able to do that. But I wouldn't just automatically take the rate offered to you by the current lender. You're going to want to go out on the open market and get the very best rate that you can. You're also going to want to compare the closing costs. I don't want you to pay any discount points to get that rate down. You should be offered that APR, just without any, discount points involved. You will probably have to pay an origination or some closing costs, and you'll want to make sure those are in line. Shouldn't be more than 2% of the loan. So on a $120,000 loan, if you pay a 2%, that'd be around $2,400. The key is that if you get that reduction in interest rate of at least a point, and you're planning to stay in this home for at least 5 years, hopefully more, then you'll make that up in interest over time. The saved interest will offset the closing costs. So I like this idea because we can get rid of the PMI, which does you no good. We can lower the interest rate by more than a point if you go out and shop it. And if you're planning to stay put for a while, you know, this overall will be a great benefit to you. And it's not like we're really adding to the term because this is a very, you got this mortgage so recently. So I think those are your next steps. In order to shop this mortgage, Barbara, I'd go to bankrate.com as a starting place to begin looking for various lenders. And if you have any questions along the way, let us know.
Barbara, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it today. Next to Minneapolis, Minnesota, Donna. You're next on MoneyWise Live. What's going on?
I have about $400,000 in an IRA. And when I was with my financial advisor last time, he brought up the idea of putting some of it in an annuity. And I remember you guys saying something about not liking them. And I'm just wondering if you think I should do it.
I see. I'm not a big fan of annuities. I think there are better ways for most people to invest without the complexity, without limiting your flexibility, and without the cost. And here's what I mean by that. When you put the money into an insurance contract, which is what an annuity is, you are getting some perhaps guarantees by the insurance company, which removes the risk. And that's really the most significant benefit to an annuitant is that you put the money into this insurance product and they either give you a stated guaranteed fixed rate of return or they are giving you a variable rate, but perhaps with a floor, meaning you can't lose money below a certain level, even if the market is down. And then you get some percentage of the upside when the market is up. And then there's a whole slew of various types of annuities kind of in between those two. And that's where some of the complexity comes in. They're very difficult to understand how they're calculated and how they work. And then the limited flexibility comes with the fees and the commissions that are paid out to the salesperson, which limits your ability to get your money back out. And so for most people, what I find, Donna, is that if you've got money in an IRA, you don't need the tax advantage that comes with an annuity because you've already got the tax advantage built in. This money is growing tax deferred inside the IRA. So then it's just a matter of putting it in the very best, highest quality investments possible to get the most advantageous long-term growth in a way that's consistent with your goals, objectives, and age and risk tolerance. But you're allowing the market to work for you. Now, is there downside risk with that? Sure. Depending on what investments you choose, you can lose your money. But that's why you'd either hire somebody to manage this for you, or you would pick very broadly diversified, perhaps index funds, where you're just going to capture the broad moves of the market, which historically speaking, as long as you have at least a 10-year time horizon, you're going to do well, on average, more than 8% a year over the last 100 years. Now, in any given year, it could be down 30%, but that's why you would only invest with a 10-year time horizon so you can weather those storms. And keep in mind, a bear market, which is this decline of 20% or more from the recent high, typically only lasts 18 months to the max 3 years. This year, we had one that recovered in just a matter of months. And so that's why we kind of play the long game there, if you will. So, that's the reason that I don't love annuities. Now, if you said to me, Rob, I'm risk averse. I want to have a guarantee. I want to know that I'm transferring this risk away from myself and the stock market to an insurance company, and I'm willing to give up access to my funds, in exchange for that, and I'm willing to give up a little bit of the upside in exchange for that, then an annuity can make some sense. It's just not my preferred option for those reasons. So I've thrown a lot at you, Donna. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, I was worried about what I lost in this IRA over this whole COVID thing. But then it gained back, and maybe that's the reason why my financial advisor suggested the annuity, because I like to be safe. But
yeah.
I don't have to touch this money for another 7 years, so I should just leave it alone.
Yeah, how much money is inside the IRA, if you don't mind me asking?
About $400,000.
Okay, yeah. So that's significant money, which would also, and I'm not saying this person's recommending this for inappropriate reasons, but that would also generate a huge commission if you put a $400,000 into an annuity. So I think, you know, the key is, do you have the right advisor who's going to do what's best for you for the long term? And I think as long as it's managed properly inside an IRA, I just don't think there's a need for an annuity. And in fact, it would give you a lot more flexibility if you stay outside of an annuity. And if you want to consider some other advisors, I'd probably look for one that has the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. I know there's a bunch of them in Minneapolis. You can find them when you go to our website, moneywiselive.org.
Rob, a lot of people get scared when they see ups and downs in the market, but they forget if they're not having to pull the money out right now, then it's not necessarily a loss. So
that's exactly right.
Very good. Rob, thank you so much, sir. Many thanks also to our top-notch team today, Amy, Dan, Aaron, and Jim. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. We'll see you tomorrow.